It is a joy to have you join with us for this, another time of Meditations on Revival. They go out at this same time every Thursday evening. Tell your friends about them, invite them to listen in as well, and we pray that God will bless our hearts as we continue to look at this wonderful subject of revival and awakening. I welcome you, and I trust God will bless your soul. Let us bow together, and we will commit our time to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to Thee once again, thanking Thee for Thy mercy to us and for this another opportunity to open up the Book of God and come to the Holy Scriptures and look at the subject of revival. We pray for the help of the Spirit, who is the author of revival, and we pray that He will come near and open up the Word to all of our hearts. And so be with us now, we pray, we commend all to Thee in Christ's name and for His sake and glory. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. We come back to this passage and we want to read verses 41 through to 47. Acts 2 verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. And God will bless the reading of these verses of His own word. Now, careful thought should be given to the issue of the identity of those who were converted in this great revival on the day of Pentecost. Identifying them gives us an insight into one of the results of revival, namely that revival and spiritual awakening will bring about the conversion of many who have been previously associated with God's visible church. Notice in verse 41, at the end of the verse, these words, "And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That word "added" means to put to the number already existing. To put to the number already existing. And so, existing previously, you had disciples of our Lord, those who were converted under Christ's ministry, including the apostles, and now these who are saved on the day of Pentecost are added to that number that already exists, that number of true believers within Jerusalem and around Jerusalem and the whole lands of Judah and Samaria and so forth. And now these are added onto that company. And so those who were not God's people previously now are the Lord's people. I want you to notice what I am saying here. They were added to the company of the redeemed, which means that these who were converted in the day of Pentecost had not formerly been in that company. They did not belong to the Lord. They were religious, yes, but they were not the Lord's. They belonged to the visible congregation of the worshippers of the true God, but they were not regenerate. They attended to the outward observance of religion, but they were not saved. And so on the day of Pentecost, this was all reversed, this was all changed. These people were transformed by the power of the gospel, and they were added to the company of Christ's church already in existence. Here is another feature of genuine revival. Genuine revival does not give credence to the assumption that people within the visible professing church are necessarily the Lord's. Peter did not preach presumptuously, as if all his hearers that day, these Jewish people, were right with God just because they were Jews. Instead, he addressed them in such a fashion as shows that they were not the Lord's, and they were therefore converted to the God whom they had professed to know and believe prior to the day of Pentecost. Down through the course of time, the visible church has actually been blighted by the assumption that all within her pale are regenerate simply because of their outward attachment to the visible church. And the consequence is, of course, based on that assumption, that deadness has taken over. There has been no stress on the need for the new birth and a personal relationship with God. There has been no evangelistic thrust and preaching in those times when that assumption is made. No call for faith and repentance. No urging people to make their calling and their election sure. No exhortation to self-examination. But when revival has come, it has always led to the awakening and to the conversion of great numbers within the pale of the visible church, as took place on the day of Pentecost, with the proof of that conversion being clearly set forth and manifested. And we see this in verse number 42. The verse says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." In that verse, the clearest proof that they had experienced genuine conversion is set before us. They had entered a whole new spiritual life. This is what we wish to see in our own day, when spiritual deadness prevails, when there are many who are associated with visible Christianity, and alas, they do not display anything of real conversion or a true work of grace in their hearts or the results of that work of grace in their lives. And it's only an awakening, only revival, that will reverse that very, very terrible situation. And so to sum up this verse, verse number 42, we find that when revival comes, spiritual love is born in the heart and is generated by the Spirit of God and is demonstrated in various ways. In this study, I want to deal with one of those aspects of the love that is born in the soul of the person who is brought to know the Lord. Maybe having been associated with formal religion, established religion of some kind, and certainly that is the case today, and they're demonstrably changed, and they are brought to know the Lord truly. And one of the evidences is a love for God's word. We find here that this verse says, these converts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now the word doctrine simply means teaching. And so they continued in the apostles' teaching. And that signifies that there is love for the word of God now in their hearts. And that love for the word of God that they now have in their souls that wasn't there before is demonstrated in different ways. I want to notice some of them with you in this study on this occasion. We find here that their minds were engaged with divine truth. Their minds were engaged with God's truth. To continue with perseverance in the apostles' doctrine means that the mind is fully engaged with truth. Verse 41 tells us this. They received his word. And then it tells us in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They received his word, as I say in verse 41. The word received indicates an active mental engagement with what was spoken. And then verse 42 tells us they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so here is the matter of the mind being taken up with the truths of the gospel that they have received and that they have believed. And so we find that true faith, true saving faith, includes a mental embracing of the truth of the gospel as a result of the operation of the Spirit of God. And so in days of revival, the Word of God becomes altogether precious to the minds of those who are awakened by the Holy Spirit. That, of course, happens whenever any person is converted at any time. And there is in that person's life then an engagement with truth and a desire for the Word of God. And that is multiplied then in days of revival. When the Holy Ghost is moving, the minds of those who are awakened, with whom God is dealing, cannot get enough of the Word of God. There is a newfound interest in the Scriptures. There is a desire, an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. I take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And at the end of that verse, Paul says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now in this verse, the sanctification of the Spirit spoken of is referred to in the context of salvation. It says here, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Then it mentions the sanctification of the Spirit. And so here the phrase sanctification of the Spirit is used with regard to the new birth by which a person who is converted is set apart from a lost world, from a fallen humanity, to become the Lord's. That's the sense of the phrase sanctification of the Spirit. But in the same breath, Paul tells us that these Thessalonians also had a belief of the truth. Notice that. And here we find that they are a people who have come to embrace the truth of God, like those on the day of Pentecost. Those at Pentecost were religious Jews. But previously, well, they just had a formal connection with truth. They knew the Old Testament, no doubt. They had perhaps read it, and I do not doubt that they had done so. And yet, it was a dead formal thing until they're awakened. And then they embrace the truth and they gladly receive the word that's spoken to them. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And here Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:13 is addressing Gentile converts. And we see the very same issue in their case. They now have an appreciation for the word of God. There's a belief of the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says to the Lord's people, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And once again, we are looking here at the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, because the new birth is mentioned in the next part of the statement, verse 23, being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so to obey the truth, to believe the truth, are acts of the mind. And what we've been shown, therefore, is that in this great work of the Spirit in times of revival, the mind is not bypassed. It is not a case where the truth, as it were, leaps into the soul and bypasses the mind. That is not what happens. Rather, the mind, as I'm saying, is engaged with divine truth. And there's this embracing by the mind of the Word of God. It's the mind that's addressed under preaching and through the reading of the Word of God and the explanation of Scripture. And therefore, the mind is not bypassed, but rather the mind becomes the channel through which God reaches the soul and brings about the deliverance of sinners from their fallen state and from their unregenerate condition. I want you to go with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, a very important verse or two we will look at in that chapter, Nehemiah chapter 8. And in the first three verses of that chapter, we have the record of a great awakening in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we find that the minds of the people are fully engaged with what is going on. And their love for the Word of God is very, very apparent. It says in verse 1, Nehemiah 8 verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. That refers to children, upon the first day of the seventh month, And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And in those verses, in Nehemiah 8:1-3, what we notice is that these Jews, again, who have come back from Babylon, these Jews are a people who now have an appetite for the word of God. Notice this, they call on Ezra the preacher to bring the book and open it up and read to them and preach the word of God. And furthermore, there's an attentiveness here that is new. Because we're told in verse number 3 that they stood from the morning until midday. There's the appetite again. That is from 6 in the morning, that's when the Jewish day began, until midday. And so for 6 hours they stood at that very place. And there they listened to the word of God, men, women and children. What an appetite there is there for the word of God. And what an attentiveness there is for the word of God. Their minds are engrossed with what they are hearing and with what is being brought before them. And as their minds are engaged with truth, then of course there is an enlightenment of those minds. And let us go to Ephesians 1, as I mention enlightenment, and show you from Ephesians chapter 1 a reference to that very experience as people are brought to know God and are awakened by the power of the gospel. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." And so here are people, again these are Gentile converts, and the eyes of their understanding have been enlightened. And Paul is praying that they who are now Christians will also have more understanding, more wisdom, more knowledge of the truth. And so the mind is engaged with the word of God. And the Apostle Paul, as he informs these Ephesians of his prayers for them, he mentions this matter of the enlightenment that they already have, and then the need for increased knowledge and understanding of the things of God. And that happens when conversion takes place at any time, but certainly in days of revival. And if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 8 and look with me at verse number 7, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 7, and you read there of various men who were assisting Ezra in reading the word, preaching the word, and it goes on to say in verse 7, they caused the people to understand the law, and then verse 8, they read in the book of in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And you see, through all of this, enlightenment was brought to their minds. And turning back to Acts chapter 2, we find that as these folk are enlightened and awakened on the day of Pentecost, not only were their minds engaged, but former unbelief was abandoned. Former things that they had espoused, it was all thrown aside. Because if you look with me at Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And so what they had formerly believed in terms of their dead religion, their Judaism that was opposed to Christ and the gospel, it is all now forsaken and abandoned. And it's the apostles' doctrine that they now take to heart and on which they set themselves and their minds and their souls. And so what they're doing is they're abandoning that which had been destructive to them, spiritually speaking. Again, verse 41, "They gladly received his word." There was a glad embracing of the truth, because they found in the truth that they were hearing the remedy for their sin and deliverance for their souls. And so what they had espoused beforehand was now forsaken altogether. Let me show you another place where this is seen. Over in Acts 19, verse 18. And this is a reference to Ephesus and what a great work God did in Ephesus. Acts 19, verse 18. It says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And then verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What a dramatic rejection there was of their former pagan notions and false teaching and practices. They knew it was soul destroying, just like the Jews at Pentecost, and therefore they turned away from it and they espoused the truth. This is what God does when revival comes. This is one of the great results of a love been born in people's hearts, a love for truth, a desire for the word. Oh, I urge you to think about this, because surely this is the desperate need of the day in our own little land, never mind anywhere else. Because darkness has come down. Unbelief is the order of the day. No mention of God in high places. No call for a day of prayer. No recognition of the wickedness of the nation in terms of the immorality and all of the departure from the standards and from the principles of the Holy Scriptures, but rather a desire simply to have the virus end that they might get back to their sin. That's what we're seeing. And therefore we need God to move and enlighten men's minds and bring to them a knowledge of the truth, that they will embrace that truth and they will turn from that which is destroying them. And they will lay hold upon Christ. Pray with all your heart for a mighty moving of the Holy Ghost, because he is the one who produces that love for the word in the hearts of men and that embracing of the truth that saves the soul. Could we unite our hearts together in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, use thy precious word, we pray. Make it a powerful witness to us in these days, that we might be urged and moved to lay hold upon thy throne, and may we see thee move in power in our day and times, in a great awakening sweep across the land, and may the Holy Ghost do his great work. We pray this in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen.